It's my pleasure today to welcome you to the Chicago International Christian Church. We are a non-denominational church. We've only been in existence for about 9 months. And we came here to start this church because we believe from the bottom of our hearts that the Bible is the Word of God. That it's not just a great book of ideas, but it is God's Word. Given to man that we might know Him, that we might love Him, and that we might understand why He created us, and what life that He created to be truly is. In Matthew 16, we're going to have a lesson today entitled, On This Rock, I Will Build My Church.
Amen.
As I said, we moved here to start this church, but really, if you understand the Bible, and if you understand God, while there are many, many congregations out there, there's a congregation on just about every corner, isn't there? There's only one church.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Yep. Come on.
The universal church is what God sees when He looks down on the earth. He sees every man, every woman, no matter where you are, no matter what congregation you sit in. If you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, if your sins have been forgiven, and if you are walking in the light, you are a part of God's church.
Amen. Come on, preach that.
We're not here. We didn't move here to start a church in our name.
Come on, bro. All right. Come on.
That's it, bro.
We're not here to talk about building the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Pentecostal Church or the Lutheran Church or the Episcopal Church. But we're here to talk about building Jesus' church. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. Question is, what is this rock we're talking about? Matthew 16, verse 13.
Come on. Read.
It says here, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
Amen.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, here, Jesus and His disciples, they enter a new region called Caesarea Philippi or Caesarea Philippi or some other way you could come up with pronouncing it. But they come to a new place, and the question Jesus wants to know is, who do people think I am? You understand?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you come to Chicago and you go around and you want to know, who do people think the Son of Man is?
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, look at what kind of answers you get here. His disciples say, well, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's very interesting. You got to take some time to think about that one. Okay. They thought He was John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? Who's Jesus' cousin? Right? Born about 6 months apart from Jesus. And he was a pretty wild guy.
Yep.
Have you guys studied about John the Baptist?
Yeah.
He's out in the desert eating locusts and wild honey and wearing this camel hair coat. And he is laying people out.
Yep.
He is preaching the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
And he's really identifying with a passage from Isaiah. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. And so, he had come to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And he was laid out. And what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom is near. Now, if you've studied that word, repent, you know what it means. Most people don't know what it means, including those that grew up in church. I can't tell you how many times I sit down and I'm studying the Bible with somebody and say, so what do you think that word repent means? And the answer comes back, confess.
Yeah.
I don't know what your answer was. Repent is much more than just confession.
Yes, it is.
Come on.
Repentance is change.
That's right. Come on,
now,
bro.
That includes confession.
Amen.
You know, you got to kind of get out where you've been and get out what you've been doing.
Yep.
Right? If you're ever going to become who God wants you to be.
Yeah, right, right.
And really, the good news that John preached was the kingdom is near. God's kingdom is coming. God doesn't want everyone treating each other the way they do.
Yeah, right.
In God's kingdom, it's different.
That's right,
yeah. It's awesome. There is a wonderful community of people that love God and love each other and treat each other according to His Word.
Come on, Brian. Come on.
Not the way you see it out here.
That's true.
This incredible kingdom is coming. And what was John's message? Unless you change, you're not going to get to be a part of it.
Wow.
With me?
Yeah.
You know, it's a very basic teaching. And today I want to really cover some of the basics.
Okay, bro.
Because it's kind of like basketball. You know, the NBA playoffs have begun.
Yes.
And the Bulls are doing quite well. I don't know if you guys know that, but today they could eliminate the defending champs from the playoffs. They're up 3-0 over the Heat. And just for those of you that are super spiritual that think, why is this preacher talking about sports? He's not really of God. Well, my doorman loves the Bulls, so in order to love him, I need to keep up with the Bulls and be able to reach out to him. Amen. We saw him this morning leaving for church. What did he say? Bulls, Bulls, Bulls. If I don't know, okay, amen. So, you know, I don't know why I got off there. I don't know why I was talking about all that. But I do know that I was talking about the kingdom of God. And covering basics. Amen. In basketball, you're not going to get very far unless you cover the basics. You can get all fancy, but if you miss dribbling, passing, shooting, you're gone. One of the lies about Christianity is the longer you're a Christian, you should move on to some upper echelon of faith.
That's true. Come on, bro. Talk about this.
Now, I think we need to get deeper in our convictions, in our knowledge of God, in our experience of what it means to live a life in the kingdom. But we can never get away from the basics. And the basics are, we're not a part of Satan's kingdom anymore. But if you repent and if you're baptized, Acts chapter 2, you get to be a part of the true kingdom of God.
Come on, bro.
How do we explain a kingdom? Very simply. To have any kingdom, and there was a movie on TV yesterday, a rerun of one of my favorite old movies called First Knight, about King Arthur and Camelot. That's one of the famous kingdoms of history. Right? This really cool kingdom where they really treated each other right and fairly and stood for justice. Well, in any kingdom, Camelot or the kingdom of God, you need a king.
Yep.
In Camelot, it was King Arthur. Who is it in the kingdom of God? It's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Then in any kingdom, you need a law. In the kingdom of God, the law is the Bible.
That's right.
And if you have no subjects, you don't really have a kingdom. So you need subjects in the kingdom. Who are the subjects in the kingdom of God? It would be the disciples.
Right.
Those men and women who obey the law and worship their king.
Amen.
And see, there's this principle that people get very upset with when it comes to talking about God, especially if they're uneducated. And that is, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? How could a God who's loving ever condemn someone to hell? Well, I put before you today, how could we, Americans, if we're such good people, send anyone to prison? For their whole life. I mean, people go away for life. How could we? Are we mean? Are we just evil? No, you see, we believe that in order to protect society, you have to take those who would hurt society out of society and put them in prison to separate them. You know, one of the coolest things about the kingdom is how protective it is.
Amen.
Of its people. I was studying the Bible the other night and we were talking with Robin as she counted the cost. And Robin was baptized this week. Amen?
Amen.
She became the 20th baptism in our short history in the church here.
Yes.
But one of the things that really lit up Robin's eyes is when we talked about Christian dating. Now, why did that light her eyes up? Because, you know, for many, many people, dating is a sore subject.
Yes.
I know for me, before I became a Christian, as a single out there in the world, that was a sore subject.
Come on.
A lot of pain. A lot of games. Yep. You with me?
Yep.
And I hated those games.
Yeah.
Of dating. And I was trying to explain to Robin that in the kingdom it's very, very different.
Right.
In the world, you move things really quickly.
Yep.
And why do they move really quickly so often? Looks, outward appearance, beauty, and let's just lay it out, sex.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
it moves very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom, we've repented.
That's right. Come on, bro.
We're not looking for that anymore, are we?
Come on, bro.
No, we're looking to build a friendship.
That's right.
Based on Jesus Christ and based on His kingdom. With a member of the opposite sex, it is about friendship with our sister or with our brother. Are you with me?
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not just strangers trying to chit-chat and talk about the weather. We're talking about a man of God and a woman of God.
Come on, bro.
Two people who have given up everything
yep.
to be a part of the kingdom. There's a trust. There's a togetherness deeper than blood. It's Jesus' blood. And so when you build a friendship based on that, it can evolve in a righteous way. And when the attraction comes, you know, I guess you're never going to end up marrying someone if that attraction's not there. That's going to happen. But we can really help each other. There's a lot of help involved in the kingdom amongst brothers and sisters. I'll give you a for example. In the world, you like somebody. First thing you want to do is you want to mark your territory. You want to tell everybody, including your buddies, you stay away from her.
Yeah.
She. Back up, baby! Right? You want to mark your territory.
Yeah.
That's not the way it is in the kingdom.
No.
Because there's a trust of God.
Yeah.
And when you go out on a date with an awesome sister, you're like, you tell your brothers, bro, she is awesome. You want to be encouraged, you go out on a date with her.
Yep.
These people in the world go, you're nuts. And that's what people think disciples are, nuts.
Yep.
You never act that way because you don't trust God. But it's incredible. And there's another a miracle I remember learning. One thing I hated was you'd date people in the world. And you'd become so close. But then if you broke up, oh, it was bad. Wasn't it bad?
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting some real good reactions from the audience. You should see the faces there. It can be bad. And it's usually bad because one is over the other one, but the other one is not over. And they're like praying and hoping and manipulating and finding a way to just happen to be walking by the other's house. And, you know.
Come on, bro. Talk about it.
But then it gets bad. It gets really bad.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a young disciple, I had a little crush on this girl, Carol. And I might have told you this story before, but one of the other sisters in the church told me, you know, she likes you. But she didn't.
That's cruel.
Not that way. And I'm not saying she lied to me or anything, but hey, people make mistakes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nice.
And so here I am, all smitten, you know, and thinking she feels the same way. And we just ended a little date there, and I thought it was awesome, and we were saying goodnight, and she said, I need to tell you something. And there came, I don't like you in that way. Oh, man. There it goes. So I was a young Christian. I was about 3 months old as a Christian at this time. And I'm thinking, here it comes again. This is going to be horrible. Oh, no. Now we're going to see each other. How's this going to be? Right? We became better friends after that than we ever were before.
Amen.
Wow, that's awesome.
See, isn't that one of the horrible things in the world? It's because these people you're so close to, once you break up, you don't get to be great friends. Because the two of you and the way you handle it, there's so much immaturity and so much selfishness and lack of trust in God that you ruin it forever.
Wow.
That's true.
But because there's a trust in God, and I said, you know what? In my mind, I thought, well, if she was meant for me, she'd like me. You know?
Yep.
But I trust God has got me in His hands.
Come on.
And
bro.
So we were able to be the best of friends. I ended up being a groomsman in her wedding. And when Teresa and I got married, she was working at the Hilton Hotel and Towers, Upper East Side, Manhattan. She booked us in the honeymoon suite at like cheap employee rate.
Wow.
I'm talking, it was awesome.
Man, come on, bro.
But as I'm explaining all this, I'm trying to help Robin understand dating in the kingdom is so different from dating in the world.
Yeah.
And not just dating. Every area of our life, we are here for each other.
Yeah,
that's right.
You are never going to be alone.
That's right.
Come on, bro.
You know,
right.
She's hurting so much. She's lost so much of her family. Her grandma's on her deathbed. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, you're never going to be alone. You have disciples all around you.
Right.
Okay, why do we talk about all that? That's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to be like.
Amen.
And if that's not what it's like, we got to repent.
Come on, bro.
John the Baptist laid this out. He said, you've got to change or you can't be in it, because when it comes, you'll ruin it.
Wow.
We'll ruin the kingdom with our sin. Unless we're humble and teachable.
Amen.
And disciples.
That's right, bro.
He laid it out so much, he rebuked Herod Antipas because he was having the most wicked form of adultery with his brother's wife, Herodias.
Wow.
So you know how John met his end? Herodias nursed a grudge. And in the end, she manipulated things and got him beheaded.
Wow.
Well, why do we talk about John the Baptist today? Because that's who some thought Jesus was. You got to understand who he was to understand who they thought Jesus was.
Wow.
Radical and powerful. Very different from if you go around asking people about Jesus today. So many people think Jesus was the loving, quiet, high-held hands, neck tilted, light halo, glowing man.
True.
And if you ever lay out the truth about something, well, that's not Jesus. You're being mean.
Ridiculous.
Jesus was loving. And to them, loving means you do whatever you want and I still love you.
No. No, not at all.
Nope.
That wasn't the message of John the Baptist.
That's right.
How about Elijah? Who was Elijah? Man, you could have a great study. One of the most awesome prophets. This guy raised a widow's son from the dead.
Nice.
Right? This guy was ascended himself in a chariot of fire to heaven, never tasting death. And in one of the most powerful conflicts from 1 Kings 18, he single-handedly took on 450 prophets of Baal, a false god. He took them on, one on 450. Bring it on. And he personally called down fire from heaven upon his sacrifice to prove. And then he laid out these words in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you waver between two opinions? If God is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve Him.
Wow.
But how long are you going to waver back and forth? Pretty powerful.
Yeah, come on, bro.
But that's who they thought Jesus was. Maybe he's Elijah. You guys with me?
Yeah.
It's like, man, when you think about Jesus Christ and who he was, and when you go out in this city and ask, who was he? What kind of answers are you going to get? We've come so far, we've drifted so far, that I don't think you'll even get the answers like this, that he was powerful. In fact, Joe Cipetta, who we got to be praying for Joe because he his back is killing him. He's got a couple of herniated discs and arthritis in his back, and he's hurting so bad. But Joe is a bold, bold brother.
Yeah, he is.
Joe is not shy at all. In fact, they say, who's he? Maybe he's John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. Because he is not afraid. And when he goes, you go out and you share your faith with Joe. You better buckle your seatbelt. Because you ain't going to get no, hi, I'm Joe, what's your name? I want to invite you to maybe come visit my church sometime. No, you're going to get, hey, I want to talk about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is?
Let's go, CPA.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
In fact, on our website, Joe created this little talk show, a podcast called Yap Sheep. And a few weeks ago, there was an episode about, you know, who was Jesus. And he went out with Mark, and they went out and met, I don't know, 30-some-odd people that day, just asking, what's going to happen to people that don't know Jesus? Hey, we're out in Chicagoland asking people, what's going to happen to people that don't know Jesus? And you can listen to a lot of the responses that you got right there. Look at Romans chapter 10.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
Come on, bro. Come on, Chris.
Come on, Chris. Come on, bro.
Who do people say Jesus is? Romans 10, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them. They are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
Wow.
Skip down verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your mouth, your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you confess and are saved. As scriptures say, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.
Amen.
Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Back in Matthew 16 again. You know, Paul's heart here for his people was that they could be saved. What's our heart for Chicago?
That they be saved.
The Midwest and all the world is that they could be saved.
Yep. Yep.
But I tell you what, they'll never be saved unless they know who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And I hope you can agree with me today, so few people really know who Jesus Christ is.
Yep, right.
And even amongst those who would say He's the Christ, even amongst those who are zealous, so often their zeal is not based on knowledge.
Wow.
And so they're off. And Paul's heart was broken. My heart's desire is that they could be saved.
Wow.
But the only way they could be is if they heard the truth.
Yep, that's right.
Again, back in Matthew 16, that's what Jesus was doing. They were going around and He is asking, who do they say I am? They got all these crazy answers. But then came back to His disciples. He said, okay, who do you say I am? So, let me talk to the Christians here today.
Come on, bro.
You guys with me here?
Yeah, bro.
Those of you that have repented and entered the kingdom of God. Those of you that have pledged Jesus is Lord. You've confessed it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart. Jesus is Lord. Who do you say Jesus is? See, we've got to have a deep, deep understanding of Christ so that we can teach others who He really is.
That's right.
Now, Simon Peter says, back in verse 16, you're the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Is that awesome?
Wow.
Peter had it on. Peter had it right. That this was not just some prophet like Jeremiah or Elisha or John the Baptist even. But He was actually the Son of the Living God.
Wow.
Is that your conviction today?
Yeah. Amen.
Deep in your soul, in the heart that you believe, and through the mouth that you confess, do you believe Jesus was the living Son of God?
Yeah. Amen.
In the flesh, on earth, God Himself.
Amen.
Emmanuel, God with us. See, when you believe that, it changes everything.
Yes, that's right.
He says, blessed are you. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then He says, on this rock, I will build my church. So what's the rock that He's going to build His church on? You guys know, right?
Yep, yep.
Many, many people use this scripture to misteach. There's whole worldwide denominations that take this scripture and say that here, Peter was the rock he was going to build the church on. You guys aware of that?
Yep, yep.
That Peter was the rock. You are Peter, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And then they go from the original language and say, Peter meant rock. And therefore, Peter's the rock. And they're somewhat correct, but very wrong. Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, Peter came from the root word petros, which meant what?
Pebble.
Little rock. But then He said, you are pebble, but on this rock, Petra, meaning bedrock, or boulder, I'm going to build my church.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people choose the wrong place to build their house.
Talk about it.
I'm always very concerned about that. You know, I don't want to build like a really expensive house on a fault line or where there could be a major mudslide. You know, do you think Jesus would build his church on a pebble?
Definitely not.
I hope not. Because if I'm standing on a pebble, you know, whoa, I'm like a teeter-totter, you know, not good. But if you know that you're standing on a bedrock,
amen,
on a boulder,
amen,
that's something you can build on. So there's no way you can build on a man. And really, the scripture comes later that confirms it. The gates of Hades will not overcome my church. It'll never be overthrown. All through history, there have been kingdoms built on men that have fallen. When we study the kingdom study in the church, and we teach people about the coming of the kingdom, what do we talk about? We talk about the Babylonians. Who was their leader?
Nebuchadnezzar.
He died. Babylon fell.
Right?
We talk about the Medes and the Persians. The Medo-Persian Empire fell. It was built on a man. You guys with me? Then we go on to the Greeks. It fell. The Romans. It was built on many Caesars. It fell. Jesus' church will never fall.
Amen. That's right.
Because it's not built on a man.
That's right.
It's not built on me, the preacher.
Nope. Amen.
And it's not built on you, the disciple.
Amen.
Right.
It's built on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it is a bedrock. You know, I hear that word, and I can't help but think of the Flintstones.
Oh.
I know I'm dating myself.
Yeah, well.
But you know, Flintstones. Where are the Flintstones? The modern Stone Age family, right? From the town of Bedrock.
Nice.
Like Bedrock, that's where they lived. Yeah, that's a pretty awesome town, man. They had some solid foundations in that town.
Come on, bro.
I just can't help it that, you know. That's where we live, guys.
Come on.
If you're a disciple, you're living in bedrock. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Come on, baby.
And it's a pretty solid foundation. 1 Corinthians teaches us in 3:11, there's no other foundation that can be laid except Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
He is our foundation.
Come on, bro.
That He was the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
I want you to look with me in John chapter 7. One of the things I always love to show people, and they don't believe me at first, when I tell them that, you know what? You too can have this revealed to you by God and not man, that Jesus is the Christ. Now, I'm not saying God's going to speak to you. I'm not saying, you know, there's going to be an angel floating over your bed tonight or anything like that. But I'm saying to you, my faith in the kingdom is not based on any man.
Come on.
My faith that Jesus was the Christ is not based on any man, though it took a man to teach it to me.
Yeah. That's right.
In John 7, starting in verse 16.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
Jesus is being questioned here about how He could know so much without ever studying. Nice. Without ever having learned and studied. How can He be so wise? Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." There it is right there. And I say to anyone, including any of you today, who aren't absolutely sure Jesus was the Son of the living God. If you put His teachings into practice in your life, you will know.
That's right, bro.
And I believe Jesus could say the same thing that He said to Peter. Blessed are you, because this was not revealed by man.
Amen.
But by my Father.
Come on, bro.
See, it was His Father's teachings. And when you obey the teachings of the God that formed you in your mother's womb, don't you know it? Don't you know it's right?
Yeah.
You know it. You know how you know it? Here's how else you know it. When you don't obey the teachings of the God that formed you in your mother's womb, don't you know it?
Yep.
Guys, when we don't obey God and we see the consequences, you know good and well that wasn't from God.
Yep.
Don't you? We talked earlier about Christian dating. Let's talk about non-Christian dating.
Well,
it was in the news this week. A single mother was dating a man who happened to have been a sex offender. She came home last week to find both of her sons murdered and her daughter raped by the man she was dating. Say whatever you want. I guarantee you, this is the Word of God. And if you obey it, His true teaching, wisdom, and truth will be very clear to you.
Amen, bro.
Amen.
Amen,
bro.
Amen, Chris.
That is not what God wants for us.
That's right.
Nope.
And if many different components there had stood on the bedrock and made Jesus Lord of their life, there would have been so much more protection around those people. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's the God we serve. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
What's the rock?
Himself.
It's Jesus. It's that He was the Son of the living God. What's the church that He's going to build on that rock? I said we're going to talk about the basics today.
Amen. Come on, bro.
We're not talking about a building where you meet. We're not talking about stained glass windows. Right? We're talking about people.
Amen.
The church, the definition of the word there, ecclesia, in the Greek, which in the Spanish is iglesia.
Amen.
Which in the French is église, which in English is
church.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, what does it mean? We've lost the meaning when we hear the English word church. Most people think, you go out there, you go through the city, hey, what's a church? What's the answer you're going to get? It's a building. No, the true definition is a group of people. A group of people.
Come on, Chris.
Called together. For a common purpose.
Come on, bro.
That's right, Chris.
Jesus said, on this rock, that He was God, I will build my church.
Amen.
The church is people.
That's right.
But it's the people that have come to stand on the bedrock.
Amen.
So I want to put before you in closing today, that if we will come and stand on that bedrock, that is Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is Lord of our lives. We are there on the bedrock. And then you call someone else and they come and they stand next to you on the bedrock. And then they stand next to you on the bedrock. Jesus can take us and use us to build His church on that foundation. But if any individual isn't standing on the bedrock, you're not part of the church. If you don't believe Jesus was the Son of the living God, and it's not reflected in how you live, you're not standing on the bedrock, and He can't use you.
Come on, bro.
To build something awesome. God so much wants to protect you and take care of you. You know, in this Vatek shooting, such a disaster, in the past few weeks, all the pain, the people that died, there was one heroic story of a man named Liviu Librescu. He was 76 years old. He was an aeronautics engineer and lecturer. He had survived the Holocaust. And he was teaching at Virginia Tech. And as The gunman came through, going room to room, trying to take down innocent lives. He came to this man's door. And maybe you've heard the story. He tried to barricade the door. And in the end, he stood in front of the door and died protecting all his students from this gunman. And he's being honored, as you well know, because he laid his life down so that these students in his classroom could live. I put before you today, Jesus Christ laid his life down so that the multitudes could live.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
But there's only one way we can live. And that is if we will put his teachings into practice in our life.
Amen.
I'm challenging you. I don't care if this is your first time here or if you've been quote unquote living as a disciple for 45 billion years. We cease to put these teachings into practice in our life.
Come on, bro.
We cease to have deep, deep conviction.
Amen.
That this is more than a book. And Jesus was more than a prophet.
That's right. Preach it.
It doesn't matter how long we've been around. We've got to continue to stand on the bedrock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 2. You know, that was an incredible message. Chris, thank you very much. I was telling Teresa during the service, Chris is pulling like a Michael Jordan when Jordan was playing with a flu in the playoffs. He still had like 45 points. So that was incredible, bro. He's very sick right now, so be praying for him. But here in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read in verse 1.
Come on, y'all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
That's right.
Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same. The same, not similar or close, the same as that of Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped,
Amen.
But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, every morning I wake up, my first inclination is not to praise God. A lot of times it's not to praise God. My first inclination is, what's going on today? What day is it? What time is it? You know, my first inclination isn't to roll out of bed, like a brother in Syracuse would roll out of bed, land on his knees on the floor, and pray to God.
Wow.
That's a lot of times it's not my first inclination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm selfish. Naturally, I'm selfish. I don't know about you guys, but naturally, I'm a pretty selfish guy. You know, and my first inclination is not to praise God and give Him the glory He deserves. You know, as human beings, a lot of people, we think that we deserve the right to live. You know? Like, when you really think about it, that's foolishness. Guys, to think that we deserve to live. You know, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God, not one of us deserves to breathe the air that we breathe, to walk this earth that God has made, not man has made. This is a great city. I love being here. But man did not make the city. This is God, right? If a city is but the people, God made these people. The city is God, right? And guys, I'm just so grateful every single day for every breath that I take. Because when you think about it, every breath that we take, it could be our last.
That's right.
You know, and really, it should be our last. It should be our last. God could look down at us for our sin and wipe us off the face of the earth, no problem. And we totally deserve it. Guys, we are nothing. And when you think about Jesus, you know, God's up there. He made the world. It's full of people. And it's full of wickedness. It's full of evil. And it's full of sin. Now, God looks down and He sees billions of people that He calls to repent. that he calls to be a part of the kingdom of God, but many people don't want it.
That's right.
So what does he do? He doesn't just fling the earth off. Oh, see you guys later. No. He takes his son.
Mm.
All right, he goes, Jesus, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go down to the earth and give these people hope.
Come on, bro.
Give them hope. You know, there's a quote that I wanted to read to you guys that actually Lee Pullen gave to me this morning. But it is, it's from a book called Power in the Prayers of Paul. It's by David Borden. Until you can hope for something, you have no chance of ever believing that you will one day see it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they just decide, oh, I'm going to heaven one day. You know, I'm excited. You know, oh, you know, I had sex with my girlfriend last night. I went to a party a few days ago, but, you know, God loves me. He'll forgive me. No. God calls for repentance if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, and unless we have something to hope for, unless we can read righteousness in the words of God, unless we can hear about heaven, guys, we have no hope.
Amen.
We have no hope on this earth. Right? It talks about in Romans chapter 8, being liberated from the bondage of decay.
Mm.
You know, when we become a part of the kingdom of God, we become God's children. God has given us so much hope.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
You know, He gives us chances every single day to seek Him with all of our heart.
Yep.
But what gets in the way? Fear.
Yep.
Right? Afraid of what people are going to think about us. I know for me, growing up, I had the opportunity to read the Bible plenty of times. You know, but until one day Andrew Smelly had the boldness to come up to me and say, Joel, we need to get in a Bible study.
Come on now.
And you know, my first inclination was, no, why not? Everyone else is doing it. You know, let's see what the Bible has to offer me. You know, I've heard the Bible for 15 years. He can't possibly teach me anything new. You know, and so we sit down, and he shows me these scriptures that cut me to the heart.
Come on, bro.
And my heart is just like, there. Sometimes it's like, oh, I can't. Why are you telling me this right now? You know, but other times it's like, I need to repent. Man, if I ever wanted to see change in my life, I gotta repent and go after God with my whole heart.
Come on,
but,
bro.
You know, I didn't want to... Look over in Romans chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
You know, I didn't want to read the Bible. Why? Because I was scared.
Yeah.
I knew what it had to say about me. You know, I had heard enough sermons to understand that the Bible was going to condemn me. You know, here in verse chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 19, it says... Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God.
Wow.
Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we might become conscious of sin. For reading the Bible, we don't get declared any righteousness. Anybody can read the Bible.
Yep.
But let's be real. Who's living by the Bible?
Come on, bro.
Right, Jesus is this example of righteousness, and we're called to live like Him, but unless we do so, we are not righteous. And I was afraid to read the Bible because I knew I would be judged by, I felt condemned by the Bible. Right? I mean, that's what its purpose is. You know, but my fear of being condemned was going to condemn me to hell, and I have deep conviction that I was on my way to hell. I have deep conviction that I was on my way to hell.
Come on, Joel.
No, but because Jesus died, I have that chance to be with God for eternity.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome, guys?
Yeah.
We can be with God for eternity.
Yeah.
That's just incredible to think about.
Come on, y'all.
You know, it's either eternity with God or eternity with Satan.
Wow.
That's how it goes, but God gives us the opportunity. If you're here today,
come on now.
You have an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen.
You have an opportunity to be with God, to have a relationship with God. You know, and as Christians, we are called to tell other people about the gospel. We are
right.
called to tell other people about what you have seen and heard.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But this is why Jesus died. You know, He didn't just die. He wasn't just another man. He was up there on the cross looking down, you know, in hopes that we would see His hope, you know, of heaven. You know, and that's the opportunity we have.
Amen.
Yeah. So at this time, we're going to take up the bread, which represents Jesus' body. And we're going to drink the juice that represents His blood on the cross. And I really want you guys to think about the sacrifice that God gave to us in order that we would have hope. of heaven.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul.